Man, it's really lovely to be together. And we'd like to share a bit about what we've been up to. But I was praying, which is good idea, eh? And just asking God about what it is for missionaries to come and talk together. And I was asking him, what's his heart for it? And there's three things that he shared for me, which I think was for me, but I like talking about what God says. It's always nice to talk about what God says, isn't it? Well, the entrance of his word makes the foolish wise, so we can, even I can become wise. So if we go on to the next slide, this is three things that I felt God highlight to me as we were going to chat today. And that was, the first one was inspire you to glorify God. Because I think there's always, when you talk about what you're doing and what God's doing through us and with us and together, I find that attention. Do you find that attention? You said, shared such a good testimony today. I love that. But do you ever kind of feel like, oh, is this about me or is this about him? Can I bring this in the right way? So it's really good, isn't it, to bring things, and our heart is to bring things so that we give glory to God. And Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, doesn't it? We are a city on a hill. No one lights a lampstand and puts it under a basket. But let your light so shine that people see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So, Father, we just ask today that as we share, may I do it in such a way that we give glory to you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us together, that our hearts would give glory to the Father. We love you, God, and we want to give you glory today. Amen. The next one, grow in body partnership. So 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And I think one of the things that happens for us is we get a bit disconnected. And it's been with the COVID stuff. We've been away longer, almost 3 years. And it's good to do things together, isn't it? You have to be connected to one another. How can we go unless we are sent? So there's an importance of going and there's an importance of sending. And then as we all do our different parts in the body, we bring the kingdom. So my hope today is to talk about some of the things that you've invested in so that you know where your prayers and your money and the fruit that's happened there, so that we can grow in our partnership together. And we can bring some of those thank yous back to you. We get the thank yous because we're doing the work there, but those thank yous are ours because we're one body. And it's important that the flow happens between the parts of the body, isn't it? We've all got to share the blessing between one another. And so the thank yous that we get, they're God's, but they're ours as well. The next one that I felt him saying was, encourage you to overcome. So that famous passage, Revelations 12 and verse 11. I want to go actually to the verse before we normally do. Verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. I'm going to say that again. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. And the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. How did that happen? Verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So I think for me, this little scripture here is the, if I want to put a scripture over this morning, I would like to put that one again. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So, testimony, which is why it's so good to do those good news stories. I love to hear this miracle of the coffee table and then somebody else that had walked for years with problems, but God was breaking into her life, wasn't it, as you came there. Let's pray for healing there in the name of Jesus for that neck problem. But that was lovely to hear that testimony. And we overcome as we hear testimonies, isn't it? So I'd like to share some testimonies and also some things that God's been teaching us that hopefully will help us to keep overcoming and manifesting that overcoming kingdom. Let's go for the next slide. So this is us. Ben, do you want to come up and share the vision that God gave us for this last 10, 11 years? I need to give you the microphone. Ben is a visionary and he likes sharing vision. It's up there if you want to read it from there.
A self-sustaining prayer and missions base with Malawians at the core within 10 years.
That's right. So that's what God gave us to do, wasn't it?
Can I do some of the past history of it?
Go for your life.
As I think about this vision that he gave us, I also think about some of the visions that have been given about this same thing over the past to the community of the surrounding area and to the YWAM base that came before us at YWAM Blantyre. Yeah. They said that there would be a YWAM base in Blantyre with a black gate.
That's right. In the middle of Chigamula, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they prophesied that maybe 15 years before we arrived.
And then when we arrived, my dad built a gate and it happened to be black. And then he heard the vision and there.
It's lovely how God confirms, isn't it? And often we walk in the prophecies of people before us. I'm going to call you back up in a second, Ben, after we've done a couple of videos for the next part when we look at the bases. Is that all right? I'm going to keep on getting you up and down. Good. So that's what we've been giving 10 years to, but now we're into 11 years. Let's go on to the next slide. The way that it starts for us is we invite young people to spend 5 or 6 months with us.
Well, during my lecture phase, mostly the highlight was the subject of wholeness in Christ. God was just dealing with my character. When God was speaking all these things that I really needed, like he spoke to me about so much fear that I had had, and he just set me free from that.
I got to know God more.
The topic of Father Heart of God. Before the IRA, that subject, I didn't understand who is God and who is the Son and who the Holy Spirit.
I learned more about forgiveness. Because before the days, I was a person of not knowing how to forgive. But after learning that topic, I know how to forgive all the people that had really hurted my heart.
I've learned forgiveness, and I was not able to hear God's more, like to feel his joy and the love he always pour on me. But I have seen even prophecies like about joyness in my life.
Wonderful. So these are students that come and spend 5 months living together with us as a community. We're a community there of about, I don't know, we've been maybe 30 at the moment. We were 40, but we sent out a lot of new bases recently. And so this is some more testimonies. These are some Australians, the next video. So they live together with us. We seek God together. We encourage people to get to know God. And then to hear his voice is the big thing. To know what he's saying to them, to know their identity and know what he's saying to them so that they can go out and do what he's calling them to do. Let's go for the next one. This is a couple of Australian guys. They've started bases in other nations. I think one over in Australia and one somewhere else. I think click again.
Malawi has been such a beautiful place. We came here thinking that we would bless the people and teach the people, but it's been quite the opposite. We've been so blessed in return. The people have received us, welcomed us. Every door you knock on is open. They invite you into your home. They want to know about Jesus. It's been such an uplifting, encouraging, empowering, faith-building trip.
So the second night we showed the Jesus film, we had a mom come to the Jesus film with one of her children. Her child was deaf. So after the film was over, we were able to pray over that child, and God completely restored the hearing of that child. And the mom was so excited, so filled with faith about it, that she actually brought two of her other children who were also deaf. So all three of her children were deaf, but we were able to pray for the last two as well, and they also had their hearing restored.
Hallelujah. God is good, eh? So then people knowing their identity and knowing that they can release the kingdom because the king lives within them. Amen? Just turn to your neighbor and say, the king lives within you. Where the king is, the kingdom is, isn't it? Where he's enthroned is where the river flows from. I know that's a truth that all of us know, but I love to repeat that truth. It's a good one, isn't it? It's one that I've got to keep on reminding myself of. Just turn to your other neighbor and say, the king lives within you. The kingdom is within you. Amen. Let's go for the next verse. Next slide. So, one of the focuses that I have all the time is we need to share a message with people that can make fishermen apostles. So often, the message that we share is so complex that a fisherman, a simple man, that wasn't necessarily educated, can't grasp it. But the message of Jesus was a message so simple, it lifted fishermen into the place of apostleship where they transformed cities and nations. Now, knowing God is the main thing, isn't it? But when we know God, our identity in him, and he is with us, for me, the simplicity is that we need to listen to him. And that he speaks to us. And that every child can hear his voice. And we know what to do. And we know how we can go out and bring change in the world when we listen and we hear his voice. For me, that's what I've seen. I remember one of the young guys that's with us at the moment is just starting a YWAM base in Zomba. Real amazing things happening. He's recently a Muslim guy who traveled for me, like more than a day's travel and came and he said, I've come here because I want to know Jesus. So people are starting to come to him from distant places that have heard that something's happening. But it started just by this young man. He was a gardener for me, working just cutting the grass. But God was on his life. And he started to know God and then listen to his voice and then obey what God was saying to do. So we like to, in YWAM, we go put your hand like this. We listen. Listen, put your hand with me and say, listen, listen. We're going to do this together, guys. What do we do? We listen, we obey. You have to move your legs a little bit. You can do. You can stay seated. But I mean, and then we don't quit. So let's go for that again. We listen. Everyone, say it with me. I'm used to Africa where people respond, okay? So we listen, we obey, and we don't quit. I've seen many places where we see major breakthroughs because people refuse to quit in what God has given them to do. But also, many of us want to hear what God is saying. I was saying to God recently, give me a word for these five nations that we're working with. Give me a word. And God said, I'm not going to give you a word because you didn't do what I told you to do 6 months ago. And I was like, But I talked to people about it and they weren't very positive. Okay, I told you to do it. Obey and then don't quit. So many times we want something new, isn't it? But actually, why is God going to give us something new when we haven't obeyed what he told us to do before? Here's a couple of testimonies of young people that have listened and obeyed. The first one is some refugees that came with and were with us for maybe two and a bit years, and then they felt to go back to the refugee camp. So let's play this. Oh, before that. So this is where we've been in Malawi. Ben, do you want to come and tell them about these bases?
Okay.
Can you point at, where's Blantyre?
Blantyre is there.
Is there in the top?
No, that's
down here. So that base was there, the long way down ones that was there when we arrived, wasn't it? And then we started YWAM Blantyre.
Well, we re-pioneered.
That's right. And then God said to us, not just one base, what was that vision of the wheel, Ben? Do you want to tell them about that?
10 self-sustaining mission bases that can interlock and help each other. Or as he expressed it, 10 spokes going out and a centre hub that can help, and also not one cow, but 10
Goats.
Goats.
That's right. So God spoke to lots of us, and then we started to obey. The way we started to obey was just to pray every day that God would... We thought we were going there for one base, but God started to say, I want 10 bases. So what do you do when God says he wants 10 bases? We can't do it, but every day we started to remind him of that promise. Every day in our morning prayers, we'd say, God, you said 10 bases. Is there anything that we also need to do today to make that happen? And then young people started to say, I want to be one of those. So if you press the space bar again, we ended up planting Waiwam and Tadja and Sanama, Mankamba, Palombi, Chawaya School and Chewo, and also in Blantyre, and Two Seeds Blantyre. And then in the last 3 years since we've seen you, we've also planted, if you press space bar so again, Waiwam Zaleka, Waiwam Zomba, Waiwam Malala, and now Mawam Mangochi is just about to be launched at the moment. So we thought we were going there to plant a discipling community. But what God started to teach us is that the essence of the gospel is always a movement. The essence of the gospel is always a movement. It is viral in the way that it multiplies. And when the DNA is correctly aligned, it will multiply out, especially when we're happy to release people. That's what God challenged me, is saying, are you willing to let go of control and send people out? And this vision of 10 started to, when people said, I want to go, I said, okay, go. I felt scared because I didn't think that they were always ready, but God said he wanted to send them, so we said yes.
I just noticed that in what he said to us for this, there's a lot of tens.
Tens?
10 years uh-huh. to complete the base.
Yes.
10 mission bases.
Uh-huh. And you were 10 at some point in that. Thank you, big boy. So we're going to a video from this last one. There's a Lekka refugee camp, which we planted in 2019, two and a bit years ago. And I thought it was going to take a long time, but these guys really heard God. And then God's provision came as well. So they did an amazing job designing this base. And actually, we could build the base. We got a trust to fund the building of the base. And that we could say to the trust, all the money is going to go to the building of the base because we're supported. Because our friends, that's you guys, support us. If this trust gave the money to build the base, all of the money goes to that rather than to our administrative costs. Because our friends believe in us to invest in that. Let's go for the next video. So this is 50,000 refugees from like Congo, Burundi, South Sudan, Somalia, Rwanda. And it's just north of Lilongwe.
So I would like to say thanks to God from what he has done for us.
That's the base there.
From this building
this
that God
from the Congo.
Has built for us through the Gavin Foundation.
Yeah. Say to your neighbor, now is the time for Africa.
Thank you very much. Yesterday it was a big party. We opened our base officially. And we believe that through this base, we're going to transform many refugees.
These guys did the design work themselves and the building work themselves. Really high quality work they did. It's probably our best base in the nation built by these refugees.
One thing that I can truly promise you is that we always think how we can work in a refugee camp. We always see what we can do for the refugees. Now we have the beauty.
He's from Burundi.
We have the place we can farm. We farm, we do sports, we work with the widows, and we work with the leaders of the church. This is the time for us to express. This is the time for us to show them the praise of hearing so that we can do what God has called us to do.
To be honest, I have seen different production from it so far, whereby young men from sport ministry has been trained by a certain man of God by using it, which means this birth gonna transform many people.
Thank you so much. We miss even some words to explain so that we can say thanks from what you have been doing. May the Lord bless you.
May Himself God provide for you as well
And may the Lord protect your family.
May He protect you. May He bless you.
And may the Lord grant you everything according to your heart's desire.
You can see our little, this is our 18-ton truck, our blue truck that we as a family take around so we can take a team with us. We're on the road more now, but we do that by taking a group with us. So where we go together and we disciple people on the road. Again, a vision. These young refugees, they listened and then they obeyed and then they didn't quit. Yeah? How did this amazing thing happen that we didn't expect to have happen? Is they heard God, and then they obeyed Him and put it into action. And again, we visit there quite a lot. We've been there a lot of times over the last couple of years as they've been building to visit them and be with them. And often we also were part of buying the land. So often for a trust to invest, they want to make sure that the land is already bought and in the name of YWAM, so it's a secure investment. And all of our trips there, again, are funded by our friends. So although the building work is on the trust, our involvement is funded by our friends and by our partners. That's you. So thank you, thank you. Next up, this is a project that we've been going. I think last time we were here, we talked about it, was the school project. So we built a school for 600 kids. Again, we heard God, and 15 years before, actually, they heard God, and we started to pray into that prophecy from 15 years before. Let's click it again. We just recently put in a water project there and some other bits, I think. So if you click that one. This is our YWAM primary school.
The water project has helped us a lot as a school. For the past 2 years, we have been getting water from the borehole pump. And now with the coming of this project, it has made life easier for the students and for the teachers as well. As students are able to drink water from within the campus. Also for the community, they're able to get water, clean water from the taps.
The students were struggling to concentrate at school because they were hungry, so we're feeding them breakfast. We have just planted these trees to provide wood for the cooking fuel for the breakfast porridge.
I like painting Jesus on things. This is our school motto. Yay. We love that. I was excited to be able to put knowing God to be the vision of our school. So every day the children declare that their vision of their school is that they're going to know God and receive quality education and together reach their potential. Let's go for the next slide. So, again, why that happened is that we heard God. And we heard God together with the community. You said it was 15 years before, wasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, 15 years. Community had been praying for it all 15 years. In fact, we have a base member who was there when it was brought as a vision, and he was there when the
That's right. So the community had been praying for 15 years, and then we listened to the community's prophecies, and we said, okay, that prophecy, that's for now. We're going to do that. And then we started doing prayer walks through the community, praying and looking for the location that we were going to build the school on. So Luke 17:10 says, the bit I want to jump to. So you also, when you have done everything that you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We only have done our duty. Amen? The reality is, When God tells you to do something and you do what you're told, we are slaves to the gospel, aren't we? What are we at that point? Do we deserve special glory and praise for it? No. We are only unworthy slaves, and who does the glory go to? The King of Kings. It goes to the Lord. So that's why I always love to underline, actually, that each of these projects were just because we listened to God, and then we obeyed what he told us to do, and then he does something that we couldn't do. I mean, I was a dropout of university. I was always like in the remedial classes at school. Why would I start a primary school? Well, it wasn't me, was it? God brings a team in, and it's his idea, and he speaks to the community, and the community gets on board. And also, he brought in someone with a master's degree in education as well to manage the launch of the teaching side of things. So, glory to you, God. We praise you, God. Simple people, refugees, people that are running away from crisis, gardeners, yeah? Farmers that listen to God and then obey what he tells us to do. So let's just go for that again. What do we need to do? We listen, we obey, and then we don't quit. Amen. Let's go for the next slide. So this is what's happening at the moment there in Malawi. We've got a major flood. About a week ago, we had a cyclone come through. This is the electrical dam, so it's totally washed away, so there's almost no electricity in the country now because we're all hydro. And the whole of the Shiri Valley is flooded. This is our base in Ntaja, which is a Muslim area. Well, it was. We're seeing massive move of God. 1,500 churches planted there by our team in the last 7 years. Real move of God going on there. But at the same time, they've had lots of their fences fall down. They've got an oral discipleship school starting this month, I think. There. So again, trying to bring discipleship out of written into oral teaching so that we can multiply in oral tribes. Most of the unreached tribes on earth are now oral tribes. Does that make sense? So oral tribes mean that they're tribes that don't use a written language. They use oral stories to pass the messages and information from one to the other and remember the past. So we're trying to make sure the discipleship and gospel information is moving from written into oral so that we have stories that we tell. Anyway, we're raising funds as well for that at the moment, so they're going to be starting their DTS soon. Please pray for Malawi, and also there's another cyclone coming in, but it may not hit Malawi, it might just hit Mozambique. Not as big as the one a few years ago, but still significant. So that's what's going on there. Let's move on to the next slide. We have now taken on a role where we were in Malawi. We're now taking on this role in South Central Africa. So that's five nations in that little sliver across there. So it's from the Indian Ocean right the way across over to the Atlantic Ocean. Two Portuguese speaking and three English speaking. That's the colonial language, which is the national languages of those countries, as well as a tribal dialect as well. Just go for the next slide. One of the big reasons why we're focusing on these nations is because we believe that sub-Saharan Africa has a huge part to play in completing the Great Commission. If you look at the shift in the way that the shift is happening with the church keeps on growing globally, and we expect by 2060 there will be 3 billion Christians worldwide. Okay, so that's the shift of where we're going, but the way that Christianity is growing is South America, Southeast Asia, and Southern Africa are exploding in the Christians that are there. So Christianity is growing globally, but it's growing fastest in the global south. So we're expecting by 2060 that 40%, or a bit more than 40% of all believers will be in sub-Saharan Africa. And that, again, in Latin America, we're talking about another 20%. So we're talking about 60% of all believers will be in the global south. Does that make sense? So then Asia and the Pacific, over here, we got another 10%. So again, that is the global south, that's the southern hemisphere. What we're saying is 70% of all believers. Now, historically, most of the believers were in the northern hemisphere. Yeah, Europe, America, but now there's this huge as people grab hold of the gospel, there's this huge move going on as the gospel spreads like wildfire through the global south. But there's something that needs to happen there, that they need to shift from being the mission field to the missionaries. Now, that's happened in South America. There's a big shift there. But we haven't yet seen that shift happen in Southern Africa. Statistically, if 0.05% of all Bible-believing Christians in sub-Saharan Africa went into missions, now normally it's 3% of Christians go into missions from our nations, yeah? Normally 3%. But if 0.05% of all Christians, 0.0, it's half a percent, go into missions, we will see the biggest mission move that the world has ever seen. So that's one of the reasons why we're there. We're not there. We're there to be a catalyst and say, friends, now is the time for Africa. It's time to go. The world needs you. Let's change the mindset that you need the world. Yeah, we all need each other, but now the world needs. When this 40% of all believers are in sub-Saharan Africa, the world will need Africa to go and bring. We've sent a team this month up into Kenya. We've got another team going up into Somalia there, pushing up into North Africa because now is the time for Africa. Let's go on to the next slide. We listen, we obey, and then we don't quit. And then it's that simple thing, isn't it? Is the gospel is simple. Being a world changer, bringing the kingdom, transforming nations is simple. We just get to know God and then spend time listening to him and saying, God, what do I do? Let's go for the next slide. So this is, again, our region that we're overseeing. Malawi's got a population of 19 million. That's 12 YWAM locations. So we were focused on Malawi up to now, but then we took on this role of overseeing South Central, which is those five nations. Zambia, 18 million. Zimbabwe, 14 million. Mozambique, 31 million. And Angola, 33 million. We got about 41 YWAM bases. And so the first thing, when we took on this role, maybe, what, 2 and a bit years ago, we felt God say, go and visit as many of these bases as you can. And then, soon after that, the pandemic hit. And so that was, you know what I'm saying? God says, go, but COVID says, stay. What do you do when God disagrees with COVID? So we spent a bit of time praying, and we're like, but God, we're supposed to be wise leaders. We're supposed to be a good example. You with me? Obey the government. But then we actually realized the government wasn't telling us. They just had rules about how we went. They didn't say we weren't allowed to go. Are you with me? And actually, in our part, there was a lot more freedom, but everyone was going on the safe side and saying, well, somebody somewhere says we shouldn't do anything, so let's stay at home. So we listened, and God said, it's time to go. And then we obeyed. And we didn't have any money, so we packed up our car, and we had the money for the first month or so. Thank you for all those that stood with us as we went. Let's go for the next slide. So this was the route that we did in the last little while. I think we stayed in 68 beds in that 12 months, visited 36 YWAM bases, had lots and lots of COVID tests, five nations, 30,600 kilometers driven, quite a few breakdowns. We had to actually get a new car along the way, so thank you for those that helped us to get a new car and trailer. It was quite a journey. But to go, we had to overcome a lot of fear. We were quite scared to go. And that's one of the things that we've been observing is it feels like globally there's an increase of fear on the earth. And actually, one of the reasons why we don't obey is we've heard God, but fear stops us obeying. Fear that we're not able, fear of people rejecting us, fear that it's not the right thing, fear that maybe we've got it wrong. Are you with me? And we shouldn't step out. Fear that there's problems in our lives, fear of disease, fear. For me, fear is a big reason why I don't obey God. I know what he's saying, but there's various fears that stop me doing it. Let's go for the next slide. Luke 21, can you turn with me to this? Luke 21, this is where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says that Jerusalem is going to be torn down. Yeah? And they ask him, when's this going to happen? And this is the statements that Jesus makes about the end times. And I want to read through them quickly, but I want to pull out this point about fear within the end times. It says, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and was gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the times will come when not one stone will be left on another, and every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they said, when will these things happen, and what will be the signs about it, that it's about to take place? He replied, watch out that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, but the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. So that's the first statement that he makes. He says, when you hear of this, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all these, they will come and seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over in synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony of me, but make your mind up not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. So first, don't fear. Next one, don't worry. Yes? That's the same kind of theme, isn't it? Don't fear, don't worry. Now, I want to jump further on a little bit further down to verse 25. He goes through lots more of the signs that are going to happen there. And in verse 25, he says this. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, you'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. When these things began to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So what is that? That middle line says, people will faint with terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world. So Jesus says, before he returns, there will be again a global increase of fear that people will start falling over, having panic attacks and that kind of stuff because of what they see going on the earth. Now, I'm not trying to put anyone down that has... I know this, we have different mental health issues, and I've had some anxiety at different times in my life, yeah? But I want to highlight, and I don't have as much compassion as I should, but that's a real serious thing that we go through, isn't it? That we face. But Jesus was saying here that before he returns, there will be a global increase of fear on the earth. And apprehension on the earth. And I believe that we as the church need to prepare ourselves in how we overcome fear. I started phoning different friends of mine in bases that we oversee in our part of Africa. And I phoned one of my friends up in northern Mozambique, where there's a Muslim incursion going on up there. And I asked him, how do you stay there with your family in the midst of this danger? And he said, well, God told us to be here. And when I'm not sure about that, when everyone else flees, I prayed until I had peace, and then we continued to obey and do what God told us to do. So praying until he gets peace, and then obeying. So what is it? He had listened, and then he obeyed, and then he didn't quit. And then when he started to feel fear that he wanted to run, he listened again until the peace came, and then he obeyed and then didn't quit. Simple. I phoned another friend of mine, and he's one of these. I told this guy that they've planted 1,500 churches in the last 7 years, but we've recently had some real difficult times. Two of the children were attacked. Someone got hit by a car, and then a Muslim chief got stabbed to death outside, just after he got saved, a few months later, got stabbed to death outside of his hut. and there's real persecution. They're getting phone calls, and people phone them up and say, strange things will happen to you. Your family, strange things will happen to them. On the radio there, the Muslim radio, they said, we are declaring a jihad against the missionaries of that area because we've lost that area to Christians. I was like, that's exciting, but scary. And then they have all these deaths that are going on and these attacks against their children. I said to him, how do you stay? Why aren't you frightened? Why are you able to keep on leading this? It's a genuine people movement. 1,500 churches, it's spreading faster than they know what to do with. I said, how do you stay there? Because I'm interested. Sorry? Malawi. It's in Malawi. He's a Malawian guy, but he's moved from one tribe to another tribe. I said, how do you stay there in the midst of this? And he said that statement, I listen to God's voice. I don't listen to Goliath's voice. I listen to God's voice. I don't listen to Goliath's voice. That was the difference between the army of Israel and David, wasn't it? When Goliath was there saying, I can kill any of you. You come here. I'm going to kill you. He was instilling fear in them. But David showed up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would stand against the armies of the living God? Why? Why could he say that? David could say that because he didn't listen to Goliath. He listened to God. And God said, I'm dealing with this army. When we spend too much time listening to Goliath, Goliath instills fear in us and we become crippled from being able to obey what God is saying. Friends, have you identified the voice of Goliath in your life? Have you identified the voice of Goliath that instills fear in your life? As I was praying about this, I felt God said to me, you are using the voice of Goliath to lead. I said, no, Lord, not me. He said, you are using the voice of Goliath. And I looked at it. I was trying to lead some bases, and I wanted them to act wisely, so I talked to them about worst-case scenarios. If you do this, this could happen. If you don't do what I say, and you do this and this and this, then you'll lose your supporters, then people will get sick. Are you with me? Now, it's true, kind of true, but I realized I was using, behind that, it wasn't wisdom, it was clever, wise, inverted commas, ideas rooted in fear. And I was realized I was using the spirit of fear to direct people. And God said, I need to repent of using the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear can be very controlling. If we want somebody to do what we want, I've noticed in myself, and I don't want to, maybe you don't do this, but I realized I had to break agreement with using the spirit of fear to direct other people. And instead, use love. It says, Philippians 1, 9 and 10 says, let your love abound still more and more in all wisdom and discernment. Yeah? Let your love abound more and more. We need wisdom and discernment, but we need wisdom that's birthed out of love. We don't want sensible ideas birthed out of fear. Because friends, the reason why I'm saying this and I believe this is important is because fear is going to increase on the earth before Jesus returns. So we as the church need to step away from fear and get close to hearing the voice of God and stop listening to the voice of Goliath. We need to have open ears to what Jesus is saying, and we need to spend time meditating on what he's saying, because as fear grows on the earth, we need to be free from fear so that we can be obedient and we can not quit, even when the enemy intimidates us. The fear and there's death. That was another one that the Lord highlighted to me. Fear and fear of death. Do you know what God said to me? I was saying, God, I get frightened about death. And he said, don't worry about death. Every 100 years, everyone on earth dies, and there's a whole new group. And I was like, oh. I was like, all right. So it's okay. Just move on. People will die, but be obedient. Follow me. Yes, everyone's going to die. That's okay. Be obedient. Listen to what I'm saying. Like God sometimes says, I think that was God. Maybe it was me. But I found it very comforting. Do you know how God sometimes, it sounds like almost the wrong thing to say, doesn't it? That you say, I'm frightened of death. And you should say, no, you're not going to die. 1,000 will fall at your right hand. 1,000 will, but you won't get touched. He said, no, everyone's going to die. It's okay, Daniel. Just be obedient. You need to keep on listening, obeying, and don't quit. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline or sound mind. Let's go for that. It's my last slide now. Listen to God's voice, not Goliath's voice. Friends, we need to cut off and identify and repent of where we've allowed the spirit of fear to have access to our thinking and to our lives. We need to repent of it and say, no more. I will not have the spirit of death. I had it recently, the spirit of death. I started worrying. I had a bit of a stomach ache and I started worrying about cancer. Are you with me? That's how the spirit of death comes in, isn't it? Is we start having thoughts that are dominated by death rather than just saying, Lord, I'm in your hands. For eternity, I'll be with you. Amen? Let me listen to what you're saying and let me obey you today. If I'm leaving the earth tomorrow, let me be obedient today. Amen? If I'm leaving the earth in 10 years, let me be obedient today. Let me listen, let me obey, and let me not quit. Friends, let's cut off the spirit of fear this morning from our lives. It has been touching our lives, and it stops us, it robs us of our eternal inheritance. Amen? On the other side of fear, the best things are always on the other side of fear. Yeah? The best things in our life are always on the other side of fear. So we need to cut off that spirit of fear having hold over us and step out in obedience because God has plans for our lives. Amen? Friends, I think I should. I've gone on, I do apologize. I got too excited. But I just want to make one final statement. If you have noticed the spirit of fear or the spirit of death having access to your life, those thoughts that you have where you worry about death, yeah? Those things about fear where you're being fearful of life. If you want to say no to those today, I'd love you to stand and we're just going to cut that off from our lives and ask God to lead us out in wisdom and discernment. I'm not saying we walk out stupid, yeah? But let love increase in our lives so we have more wisdom and more discernment to know how to walk forwards in obedience into our lives. Amen. Stand up with me if you want to. Sit down if you don't. I'm really happy either way. So, maybe you can put some music on. So, Father, I come before you and I have allowed my mind to be filled with thoughts that are motivated by fear and by death and the fear of death. Father, I repent of allowing those voices to have access to my mind. I've even done actions that were motivated by fear and death. Lord, I repent. And in the name of Jesus, I cut off from my life and from our lives the access of the spirit of fear and death and the fear of death to our lives in the name of Jesus. I cut it off, body, mind, soul, spirit, and emotion. And I say, Spirit of love, come and lead us forwards in the name of Jesus. Spirit of love, come and lead us into wisdom and discernment that we can walk out obedient. Holy Spirit, open our ears to what you want us to do today. Free from fear, obedient to you. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us out in life. Lead us out in love. Lead us out in obedience. Lord, some of us you've given us, we know what we're supposed to do, but we've drawn back. Oh Lord, pour your fire now on the vision that you've placed in our heart, that we would be obedient and not quit. Oh Lord, I want to pray for a fresh wave of encouragement and life that flows from your throne. Let it flow now in the name of Jesus and empower these visions that were from your heart. Come, Holy Spirit, that we would run and not grow weary, that we would walk and not faint.